Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and we have an absolutely outstanding show for you today. Now, right now, as you can see, it is just me and Gamsley. We're chilling. We're ready to knock out these topics. We have some really good ones. Obviously, Fallout numbers need to be discussed because they have ballooned. Fallout 76 breaking its own previous records. More players now playing Fallout 4, which of course is going to be 10 years old next year, which is bonkers. That's something. And of course, we got to talk about, well, Todd Howard gave us an update to Fallout 5 during a recent interview that I don't think a lot of people are going to like. I am really concerned about when we are going to get this game. We talked about this on Friday, and then over the weekend, I saw this news feed pop up where he was specifically talking about Fallout 5. And of course, on Saturday, as they do over on Xbox Era, you know, obviously that is John. That is Special Nick. And of course, don't forget Jesse Norris, the best reviewer in the business. Well, he dropped a megaton, in my opinion. And when I say he, I'm talking about Special Nick, because he talked about specifically Helldivers 2 potentially coming, of course, to Xbox. And, well, it makes sense, right? We're going to get into that. Now, I did a tweet over the weekend advertising today's show, and a lot of people from multiple platforms were excited. Most people that you know, have a vocabulary you can understand that doesn't include four-letter curse words actually had a conversation. We're like, hey, Boom, you're right. I bought it on PlayStation, and I'm going to rebuy it on Xbox. And of course, I admitted that I've already bought the deluxe edition, love the time I put into it. And yes, I will rebuy it on Xbox because I'd rather use the controller. I like my half-pull triggers. I like my achievements. I like my friends list. So I will ultimately put a lot of time when that game comes. And I say when because we're going to break down why it's important and why Sony is rumored to be in talks already, because, well, they kind of need money. But Gamsy, how you feeling, brother? How was your weekend?
Oh my god, fantastic, Boom. I've been playing some Fallout. I've caught the Fallout fever like last week. I'm into 76, I'm into 4, I'm into 2. I'm all around Fallout right now. I'm having a blast, and yeah, hurry up, Todd. Jeez, my god. Fuck. Shit.
Yeah, we're going to break down. Actually, we're going to open up the show exactly what Todd had to say about it. And Fuzzy Belvedere, what's going on, brother? Everyone seems to be playing Fallout. Numbers are through the roof on everything. TV series, obviously highly reviewed. Most people really enjoyed it. I saw a couple of people, you know, kind of fake hate it, you know, for tweets and for clicks and for likes and that kind of shenanigans. No names here, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. There wasn't much not to like about it, but there is a lot to like about what's going on specifically in the gaming industry. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Sorry for bouncing in and out here, trying to get everything sorted on my PC. But man, a lot of good news out there. Some interesting news as far as some other stuff. I don't know if we'll get into it with stuff with Embracer, but you know, Fallout,
yeah.
I caught the bug as well, enjoying the game. And then also there was a trailer for Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, which yes. I enjoyed the first one, actually hopped back into it. So playing a bit of that, playing a bit of Fallout, also playing like another game that's in like early beta, Zenless Zone Zero, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's going to come to Xbox because PlayStation money had it, the whole Hoyoverse deal, but you know, maybe things will change. Hopefully that's one of the first ones that do come to Xbox. Later Genshin Impact or something like that. But yeah, having a lot of fun with games and man, ready to talk about some of these topics.
Yeah, you know what? Let's get into what Todd Howard had to say, because obviously you were part of Friday's Breakfast at Boom. Now, of course, we do give credit where credit is due. GameSpot actually posted this article. It was by Haley Williams. Posted on April 18th, and it says Todd Howard on Fallout 5. I'm going to avoid putting dates on anything, according to him. Now, Obviously, Todd Howard is a man that's being interviewed left, right, and center because he was one of the executive producers of the show. And obviously, he wants to be a part of anything that becomes transmedia, whether that be film, whether that be TV, whether that be anime. I would imagine that he is going to be in a big part of that. Now, obviously, according to the article, it says Fallout is definitely in development, but questions of when it will release are still unconfirmed. Now, what's interesting is some of the commentary from Todd Howard. He goes on to say this: "I'm going to avoid putting dates on anything. I've learned that the hard way." Todd Howard answered in the interview. So obviously, our focus as far as new development right now is Elder Scrolls 6. But that doesn't mean that we're not making plans for other things. Now, the article goes on to say, while Howard didn't elaborate too much on Bethesda's plans for future games, he did mention some of the ongoing games the developer is continuing to support. And that is, of course, he goes on to say, we are still doing a lot of work, obviously, on Fallout 76. And we see the community, so many people out there going into that game and kind of rediscovering it. And it's just so happy that we have the game like this so people can enjoy. Fuzzy, let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's great to see that they have 76. I wouldn't say to fall back on, but it's one of those games where it wasn't as well received at launch, and they've kept at it as far as supporting it, adding content, listening to the player base, and making sure the NPCs are there, and making it a better game overall. And this TV show kind of perfectly timed it so that way people will be able to revisit it, because I know a lot of people wrote it off, you know, from its launch time. But
I mean, to be fair, the game launched terrible. I bought it. I played it, actually. And folks, you've heard me say this before, Fuzzy. I bought it for the 62 helmet that came with it. Mm-hmm. It was a special edition. It was a collector's edition. I sold the game when I got it because I knew I wasn't going to play because it was a PC version I was able to find. I did play a little bit of it, and I did not like it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it with it being kind of like that MMO kind of thing, it's not going to be for everybody, but it, at least for those that are looking for that type of, you know, Fallout universe, it's there and it's readily available. And, you know, they're still doing updates and things like that. But I know a lot of people would love for them to do a Fallout 5, and they got, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 team working on stuff. They got the Starfield team working on the DLC and a lot of updates and things like that. So they're focused on supporting a lot of their IPs. The drawback is I don't think they've come accustomed to splitting off teams or having it where maybe a small portion of the team now starts working on Fallout 5 before they finish like Elder Scrolls 6 or even before they finish the Starfield DLC. So it's maybe the one drawback right now at the moment, or at least from what we know and what Todd's willing to say publicly. But knowing that he's aware that people are, you know, kind of itching for Fallout 5, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a small team at least getting the storyboarding stuff done. But we also have a large, you know, group of fans that are looking for that Starfield DLC. So I think their focus is partially on that right now and mainly on Elder Scrolls 6. And then Fallout's kind of like the you know, ready and waiting on the bench right now kind of deal outside of their Fallout 76 team, which, by the way, they also had that the next gen update coming in, then, you know, later this week for Fallout 4. So they do have, I guess, some people working on that type of content. Now, if it's possible to maybe shift some of that attention to a Fallout 5, I guess, but I think they're going to let 76 play out a bit longer. As long as people keep on playing, like the numbers are through the roof as far as, you know, concurrent players and things like that. So with it being in the spotlight, the TV series doing well, and, you know, maybe they get, you know, a third season, fourth season, fifth season, we could see a couple more years worth of support for 76 while maybe a Fallout 5 is, you know, slowly being worked on in the background. But, you know, I'm looking forward to actually from them, I'm mainly looking forward to the Starfield DLC, and then, you know, mainly like a Fallout 5, even if it means that they work with some teams that are still under the Xbox brand that have touched Fallout in previous lives, I guess you could say, whether it be InXile or Obsidian. But we still don't know what that other project Obsidian's working on. Like, we know they're working on Outer Worlds 2. We know they're working on Avowed.
Right.
But there's another project that they're working on, because they said 7 games in 5 years or something like that. And
it's a mystery. A lot of people would love to believe that it was a Fallout New Vegas 2. I don't know. It's, you know, it's weird when we have this conversation about what Bethesda is willing to or who they're willing to allow for them to continue the franchise. It to me, look, again, this is what do I know? I'm not a developer. I just personally think that it is a bit foolhardy that if, let's say, for instance, Obsidian wanted to make a Fallout game, why not let them? Right. Like, I understand they're not going to make Fallout 5. That's going to come the way of Bethesda proper. Not a problem. But they mean, the head of the studio for Obsidian has already said, we would love to do something. So if, and again, this is just for, you know, for shits and giggles, folks. If Fallout 5 is not going to be out until 2030, let's just say, the way that Bethesda does business, I think that's a terrible miss. So there's a couple of things that you can do here. One, it's Microsoft. They own Bethesda. Let's start hiring a team to work exclusively on this next game. Okay, there's no reason why a Bethesda can't work on updates for ESO and Fallout 76, have a team working on that. They can have a team working on Elder Scrolls 6. They can have a team continuing updating and working on DLC for Starfield. It doesn't personally make any sense to me at all that there can't be an actual Fallout team. And if that, in fact, is a problem, how about, I don't know, teaming up with Obsidian, who knows how to make a game, and maybe doing a collab?
Like, I almost wish in a weird way that there were two things lined up before Fallout 5 comes out, just to kind of hold people over that are now, you know, either newly finding that post-apocalyptic world, or that are, you know, returning to it because they've, you know, played out as much as they want in Elder Scrolls or in Starfield. And that would be to have, like, InXile, since the Wasteland games are kind of like a alternate universe of Fallout without the shelters per se. Maybe have them do a remake or a remaster of Fallout 1 and 2, because there are enough within the, you know, Xbox platform, you know, players that would probably be fine with, like, that old, like, CRPG style game to some extent. So having something like that for nostalgia purposes that could, you know, be a nice, you know, I guess, boost to the overall, you know, universe for Fallout would be a thing to consider. And then, like you said, having Obsidian either do a New Vegas 2 or some other location that is like an in-between story and let them run wild with it. It doesn't necessarily have to be canon. Like, the TV show doesn't necessarily have to be canon, but it fits within that universe kind of thing. I think that would be the way to go. And then that gives plenty of time to finish off, you know, Elder Scrolls 6, and then for the team to, you know, ramp up for Fallout 5. You'd have two new titles in out in the customer's hands, or at least one new title, one remaster, or, you know, remake or something like that. And then you'd have the Fallout 5 that everybody's been waiting for kind of deal. But I don't know. I think with Todd, we'll see, because I get this sinking feeling that he's probably going to want to step away after Elder Scrolls 6. Yep. And then he's like, oh, yeah, anybody can work on Fallout. But I think when he does leave Bethesda, as much as he seems to be probably enjoying the Fallout TV series, I wouldn't be surprised if he does something like Kojima and be like, you know what, I'm going to start doing producing for shows like that. Or I'll be the executive producer for a Starfield show if Microsoft and Amazon are willing to do it, kind of thing. So we'll see what he says once Elder Scrolls 6 is delivered. But yeah, it would be awesome if they use some of the talent within their walls that they have already, both at Bethesda, Obsidian, and in Exile, or just, you know, start ramping up that hiring. I mean, I know the economy isn't what it could be, and there's probably a tighter budget now or more scrutiny on the spending over at Microsoft for some of these things. But I think in the grand scheme of things, considering the resurgence of an older game like that's 9 years old plus.
I
think it's time to loosen that wallet a bit to kind of, you know, ride that wave and, you know, cash in as much as you can and keep the fans happy at the same time.
It's you know what? It's interesting. First of all, apologies to Game Pass Dad. I thought I sent you the link, my brother. Thanks so much for being here. I'm sad to know that that Corvette that you put out on the socials is not yours. How the hell are you, fellow? How's everything?
I'm doing good. The Corvette just happened to be parked outside of the venue that I was doing stand-up in that night.
My God, that's
and
great.
I couldn't resist being a little bit of a IRL troll. Like, I convinced more people on Facebook that it was real than Twitter, so it was pretty funny.
I threw you a giant congratulations, and he was like, oh, you know what? Boom, that's not real. That's really, here's mine. Here's my ass.
It's always hilarious to me, but then I feel bad when someone does say something really nice. So I appreciate you very much and glad that we made it in. No worries. I know how it is to rodeo everyone together to,
you know what? It's actually completely my fault as a host failure, because I sent everything early this morning.
Yeah.
And with the idea that once I was done with my workout, which I did a 60-minute of VR workout today, it's amazing. My body is just screaming. I would have not have to worry about sending links because I sent them. And of course, I failed. So apologies, kind sir. Thank you so much for still being here. And we're going to bring you in on the back end of this conversation. So Gamsley, look, here's the thing. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to Fuzzy Belvedere about Fallout 5, and he's, you know, obviously putting a lot of really good things out there. But when I reread what Todd Howard had to say about Fallout 76, I'm not happy about it, but it makes sense why there isn't a rush for Fallout 5. Here's why. Now, again, I'm just going to reread it, folks, so just bear with me. Todd Howard kind of really spelled out why there isn't a rush for Fallout 5 without saying it actually in the interview. Todd Howard said, "We're still doing a lot of work, obviously, on Fallout 76, and we see the community, so many people going into that game and kind of rediscovering it, and just so happy with where the game is at currently. It really does. I mean, this one has to be one of the best communities in all of gaming. Surprisingly, it's very, very nice. It's a very, very nice apocalypse. Now, they just finished releasing the Jersey DLC with Atlantic City, right? Now, one of the biggest additions to Fallout 76 is NPCs. There are places where you can go on the map where you are dealing and doing missions as if you would be doing them in a Fallout single player game. I haven't been back to it. Everyone that has says that it's completely different and everyone should jump in there. And hearing that is both exciting, but also disappointing because I'm also not an ESO guy. I love Elder Scrolls. I hope that the Oblivion remake or remaster is true because I'm going to jump into that as if it was a brand new game. I hope that the Fallout 3 remake/remaster is real. I will replay that, you know, with, you know, updated graphics and controls and everything. But now that we have Fallout 76 getting all of these massive updates, it almost seems that even though he didn't say it, Fallout 5 is kind of been put on a back burner. Do you think the success of the show and the sales of games that are resurging left, right, and center kind of put a little pressure on him to maybe get started sooner than kind of just wait on it releasing in 2030?
I don't like pressure. I think we got Fallout TV show the way it is because no pressure and because he found the right people. You find the right people, you get a good product. Building a team is nice and romantic and fantasy and all that stuff, but that stuff is hard to do, and he obviously cares about his IP, and so does Bethesda as a whole. So, I mean, I kind of like the pace that Bethesda is doing. They make three gigantic IPs in rotation and they try to take their time with it. Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76 were spinoffs and within that world to always be like in betweens of their bigger titles coming out, right? It was supposed to be, well, we know that Elder Scrolls 6 is going to have to be worked on. So in the meantime, here's more Fallout and here's a constant revenue stream that we need. And here is a Elder Scrolls for your wait into getting into the next big Elder Scrolls mainline game. Like that's the whole strategy. They need time. They're one studio. And I get that, you know, Obsidian is the best, you know, option and all that stuff, but they have their, you know, huge projects as well. And I'm sure they're working on it in the background, but I don't want to rush any, I don't like rushing anyone. They just got integrated in Microsoft, so you can bet that, you know, they're going to have more calm on their shoulders, and I want to keep that calm. I don't want anyone to pressure anyone. So Fallout worlds are big for a reason, and we need teams that want to make them to be making them, and sometimes that takes a ton of time. But 76 taking off the way it is nice. While we wait for the next one, we have 76, we have Fallout 4 that's getting updated. I would say remakes are the better option. So I say get a smaller team, remake what's already good, safe bet it, and work on the bigger projects at your own pace. That's what I say. Work on one, work on two, work on three, on your side teams. And then by the time all these projects comes out, maybe, you know, Obsidian is going to be like, oh yeah, you know, we have a team ready to go. We're passionate about this. Give us, you know, New Vegas or whatever, and we'll do it. Or who knows, maybe Obsidian remakes three and puts their touch on three. So, take your time. We have so many games. We have so many games. So I'm not in a rush, and I hope Todd isn't either.
I mean, it's a fair sentiment for sure. I think that there's something to be said about the fact that there is a resurgence on the games. And I think that there is something to be said about people wanting to have a new Fallout. I just hate the idea of potentially waiting until 2030. Because, if we go based on what they do normally, well, that's it, right? They take 5-6 years for a game. And again, I'm not in the position, I'm not a developer. I don't want anyone rushing them at all either. I just think that, man, I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting conversation. Game Pass, Dad, let's bring you in on it. Do you think that there is more concern to get a new Fallout if Fallout 76 doesn't exist? Do you think that they're kind of, because it exists and because they're updating it and it just had a big update with Atlantic City, that, well, there's your new Fallout. It's a new part of Fallout that's never been before.
It's a different team too, you know. So
it is. Oh no, it is absolutely not at all a different team.
Right? To answer that like cleanly, yeah.
But it's still Bethesda. You know, it's a separate team, sure, and that you're 1,000% right. But I think that when you talk about, you know, I don't look at Bethesda as it's separate teams. Bethesda's Bethesda. Someone that working on 76 is probably going to be working on 5, and vice versa. I just think that it is a little concerning that we don't. That we're not going to potentially get a new mainline Fallout until 2030. And I'm going to be 60 years old at that point. What are your thoughts, Game Pass Dad?
I mean, first and foremost, like I definitely, when we sit here and we think of the roadmaps that games are releasing on at this point in time, like how often it felt like we used to get games like in like 10 years ago, like it definitely seems like it slowed down, but I don't want to have to wait that long for another Fallout. I would love to see them like at the very least branch out into like more options or like providing us more experiences within the universe at the very least. But I do feel like part of what makes Bethesda games like at least a really solid quality when they release most of the time, like 76 was definitely not a great example of that, but has definitely, like, I've recently jumped back into 76 with some
friends. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, obviously, I kind of want you to kind of paint the picture for us, because it was terrible at launch, and it has gotten so much better. I, myself, haven't jumped back into it, but everyone says it's great.
Well, at launch, like, I jumped in, I didn't buy it at launch, and that was pre-Game Pass days, and then I did try it when it came to Game Pass, because I completely avoided it like the plague back then, because, like, honestly, I think when I originally played Fallout 4, I just wasn't feeling it at the time. Like, I played through most of Fallout 4. I enjoyed it, but eventually I just, like, was like, this is enough of this for me right now. And, like, 76, like, with the bad reviews and, like, just not really having anything to do or not really understanding what it was, like, it made me not want to pick that up. And then when it did come to Game Pass, I jumped into 76. And there just wasn't really enough to do at that point in time. There was no one to play with. Like, it was a little bit too rough for me. But now, revisiting it with the updates, like, there definitely are a lot of missions where you can play it pretty much just like a solo game. Takes a little bit to get used to. Like, it took me a minute. Like, I'm starting to understand the leveling system. I've been playing it for about 10 or 12 hours now. I have plenty of friends that play it at this point also, like, through, like, the streaming community and everything. And, like, one of my friends, she's played for, like, hundreds of hours, and she's been trying to get us to play forever. But the social aspect, like, it feels, I've maybe only played about 10 hours of ESO also, and I remember feeling similarly with ESO, that, which I never had friends to, like, keep me engaged with ESO, which might be a different story if I had friends that played. But, like, definitely when you get in there, and the fact that you can enjoy, like, these single player games that when I was growing up, like, me and my buddy used to play Oblivion, and we would collect different items from the world, and we'd, like, try and have, like, the funniest or most, like, gruesome, like, decorations from our house. It's like, oh, I have a pile of bones in my shack over here. What do you got? Me and him used to, like, sit on Xbox party chat, or just, we would just sit there, even when it was just, like, you could voice chat with one person on Xbox, and go back and forth just talking about how we would play our Oblivion games. Like, we used to play our games that way. Where now, having the ability to not only, like, share that experience with someone else, but be able to play the entire experience together with somebody else, or I think pretty much you can do most of it. There's certain single player areas that I don't necessarily, I think it's like if you're at different points in your stories with your characters that you can't necessarily do everything together. But just the fact that, like, when I was growing up with these games that I wanted to do that, like, that I can do it now, it definitely is a different and special experience that I really do enjoy. And it's something that is like fulfilling, because even if maybe you don't quite like the formula for how Bethesda does its, like, how it designs its missions or the world, like, when you can enjoy it with other people, it's definitely a lot more engaging. And I've been enjoying it quite a bit. Like, it didn't necessarily sink its teeth in me as quickly as some things like maybe Helldivers as of recently, but it's been a worthwhile experience. And especially with Game Pass, like, I don't see any reason why not to try it out. Like, I've put some money their way with the, like, premium pass, so we could do, like, private servers and nice. Play with, like, just 8 of our friends. And it's been really fun. And at that point, to continue on that, like, I feel like with all the hype coming off the TV show and the fact that it's starting to break through into, like, the more mainstream, and people who've never considered Fallout before or getting the bug to jump back in, because, like, after watching the show, like, I feel like it kind of connected me to the universe in some ways where I've always been familiar, but it's just hasn't really dug its teeth in me since like Fallout 3, maybe. Like Fallout 3, I played a lot more than Fallout 4. I don't think I've ever really enjoyed like the shooting aspects of a Bethesda game compared to like an Oblivion. But I mean, maybe it's because post playing Starfield, like Fallout is a little bit more similar to Starfield. But I mean, you get like best of both worlds because you can do melee in both of them as well. But I do feel that there's probably going to be pressures to possibly bring a Fallout 5 a lot faster. I would hope that Microsoft and Bethesda work together to find a way to possibly enhance what they do. But I feel part of it is that like Todd Howard and his teams and his vision are like the reason why like these things are like Gamesley said, like why there's so much quality here. And like it, rushing, it's not really going to do anyone any good. And it definitely needs the care that it can. And we don't need the people who really guide these things to coming to life being forced to just print, like forced to basically like Activisionify or Call of Dutyfy, like the
gotcha. That's a good point.
The like basically just bringing it straight into capitalism, or doesn't need to be a tool to print money, because if they give it the time and care that it deserves, like it's going to make plenty of money. Yeah, it sucks that we have to wait to enjoy that, but I would hope that kind of like the discussion that's come up through like Halo versus like what Helldivers did and the homage to like the Halo universe that Helldivers was in some respects, I would hope that Microsoft pays attention to that, maybe thinks of giving us some different experiences, or maybe giving, if there's teams at other studios that would like to maybe give us a new Vegas, like if Obsidian would like to give us another Fallout game in the meantime, I think that would be very welcome by a lot of people. Yes, but at the same time, it does come down to whether or not like you have the manpower, whether you have the money, and like whether or not you can actually do that without it being a detriment as well. So I would like to see what comes out of it. I definitely would like to see more Fallout, but I would think that it might be more likely. It's a lot easier to bring more content to the games that exist or bring us the remasters than to completely jump the schedule of when Fallout 5 is planned, for sure.
Well, first of all, apologies for the mic. My mic crapped out live on the air, so I was able to go off camera for a hot second and fix it. So hopefully it sounds good. I know people said I was cutting in and out, man. I go through mics like it's going out of style. I don't even have kids messing with it. This is the craziest thing. But here I'm back. New mic. Let's rock and roll. Look, I think I want this to be clear. I am not suggesting that Fallout 5 needs to be rushed into production. I think anything rushed is going to fail. That is a fact. Gaming is
right.
All you have to do is look at games that were rushed out and have to be updated. Flop. Fallout 76. I don't know if it was rushed out, but that game came out and it really wasn't good. And it was at a time before Microsoft purchased Bethesda, where they were kind of being steered by the shareholders looking to make quick bucks, which is why we got the Nazi killing game with the daughters, which was absolutely atrocious. Wolfenstein normally is a great game. Machine Games does fantastic work. I know they didn't do that particular one with the daughters. It was freaking awful. Fallout 76,
yeah, but again, you see, can I cut in for a second? But see, that sure. That's why that's a product that exists in this exact scenario. Like, they gave it to another person, another team that was like, right, I want to make this thing, and it's bad. Like, we like to romanticize about that thing, the what if and the what but and the give me this. But then it's just like, well, Fallout 76 and the daughter, you know, that game you're talking about exists from different teams at different times and that wanted to do it but failed. Like, it also is possible for these types of games to fail and do the reverse effect of what we're talking about. That's why we need the right teams and the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Gamzee, you are 1,000% correct, brother. There is no arguing that those products are exactly why you can't rush. And that's a great, phenomenal point across the board. But the difference here, the reason why I'm even bringing it up in conversation is based on what Todd said. He has high expectations for Fallout 76 to continue to grow. Now, to me, reading the room, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, to him as a producer and leader of the studio, well, he is, in his opinion, giving us new Fallout. But that's not the Fallout I'm looking for. So that's why I stay away. I go back and I play the old games. Now, obviously, I started 4, design my character. I really never meant to put the 6+ hours I currently have in it because I wanted to wait for the freaking update. But I couldn't put it down. And obviously, June is around the corner. And we did see that during the court proceedings for the purchase of Activision Blizzard King, Oblivion and Fallout 3 were mentioned as potentially being remade. Are they remakes or are they remasters? We don't know. Maybe we get more information in June, which is only a couple of months away when they have their big blowout. And to be fair, at that point, like Fallout 3 for me was tip of the spear. It was one of my favorites. And I really think that it, for, again, this is just talking for me, that Obsidian's Fallout New Vegas kind of just edges it a bit, because I really did like New Vegas a lot to the point where I played through it twice. I didn't play through Fallout 3 twice. I played through it and I put about 400 hours in, and I think I got halfway through 4 and I just fell off. Now I'm back. I'm very excited to play it. So maybe there isn't a rush for 5. I just think that when you consider that TV show is exploding on the scene, people are rewatching it. I've started rewatching it myself. I want to see it because the Easter eggs that are in there are so good that you have to run through it twice. It's, again, no one's suggesting that they rush out 5. I just wonder if maybe Todd isn't going to be around for 5, because I really do think that his magnus opus is probably going to be Elder Scrolls. Because he's been in the business a really long time. And I kind of think he has earned to retire and kind of just chill and do whatever he wants to do. Spend his money. Buy a yacht if he doesn't already have one. Sail the ocean. I mean, the guy's been around for years. He's made his money. He's invested, I'm sure, wisely. Now he just wants to, you know, chill. And, you know, I know about retiring because I retired. And it's really great when you get there. But, ladies and gentlemen, great way to open up. Great conversation. Everyone knocked it out of the park. Apologies once again for the mic. These mics just drive me crazy. Let me catch up on the Super Chats and the channel member conversations here. And then we're going to get into Helldivers 2, because I think that there is a real need for it. I think not just for Xbox and its fans who will support that game. Hell, they may even support it more than Sony's doing. But I think Sony is in a position where they need money. They're coming off of a 2023 that had one first-party game in Spider-Man. I don't think it did as well as the numbers suggest at $10 million. I think $10 million is a great number. I just think that there's a lot of falsities into where those purchases came from. They didn't sell 10 million full-price copies. They didn't. Those things were packaged in everything. You bought a pack of toilet paper, Spider-Man 2 was there. That's just the way it was. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not full sale prices. And they didn't do as well as they thought. But we'll get into that and why I think that this is going to be happening sooner than later. We have Jacob Novick dropping a very generous $5 super chat. And he says, I'm a bit clueless. Why isn't the Gears collection real? Question mark. Ponies told me that in order for it to be real, Phil Spencer needs to announce it when Nick or Special Nick leaked it all those years ago. I mean, it's is it have I heard that it exists? The answer is yes. Have I heard that it is being done in Unreal Engine 5? The answer is yes. Nick himself said it. This has been out there for probably over a year. I suppose what they mean is that, well, Microsoft themselves hasn't announced it officially. So is it real? Is it vaporware? Well, I mean, it technically doesn't exist because it hasn't been confirmed. I think you're going to get that all confirmed in June. And I think we're going to get a chance to see that and potentially a Gears 6 reveal. It's going to be very exciting. I cannot wait for it. Adidas 20-0 drops very generous $5 super chat and says, I see Metacritic passing out 1099s to Xbox. I mean, if you're talking about that game that is so wide, so weirdly reviewed, it's like a JRPG that came out. I think it's like an 83 on PlayStation 5. I think it's like a 70 something on Xbox, and I think it's even worse on Nintendo Switch because Nintendo Switch probably doesn't run that well. It's weird. It's just weird. Don't worry about it. Again, buy it when it's on sale. If you're a JRPG fan, the game looks really good, but it's just weird. Bounty drops. Wow, he has gifted, folks, 5 Double Barrel Gaming memberships. Dude, that is crazy generous of you. Thank you so much for that incredible support. Dude, you rock, bro. Pragmatic Eagle, Jesus, he's been a channel member, folks, for 55 months. That is probably as long as the channel has been alive. Dude, that's crazy generous of you. Thank you so much for the outstanding support. He goes on to say, with Bethesda games, how many mechanics are in these games? A ton. You can't expect their games to roll out quickly. No one wants a rushed Bethesda game. I mean, he's fair. I guess that goes right in line with what Gamsley had to say. And it's a fair sentiment. I say that because it's Microsoft and you have the money to make a bigger team. I'm not saying that, oh, because of the show, we should get a new Fallout in 2 years. That would be a disaster. I'm saying that I think that suggesting that only one game at a time can be developed, a big game, is to me not the way I would do business. I think that when you look at the support that they could get by hiring outside, and I'm not talking about, you know, part-timers. I'm talking about get some people or collab with an Obsidian, get your teams together, and build this amazing, super talented Fallout 5 team where there is no rushing. And it's like when the game gets done, it gets done. But we have all of these amazing people working on this because they're passionate about working on this game. And they're all Fallout fans, and they're here because they want to deliver on the next big Fallout, part of the franchise. That's all I'm saying. But I do want to get into the story that kind of set the internet on fire. Fuzzy Belvedere, I want to go to you first. Now, this story was posted by TwistedVoxel.com. The writer of the story is Muhammad Ali Bari. Basically, the lead title of this story is Sony is allegedly in preliminary talks to bring Helldivers 2 to Xbox Series X and S. Now, where did this all come from, ladies and gentlemen? Well, Special Nick of Xbox Era, who does this on a regular basis, he has a lot of sources. He is trusted, at least in my personal opinion. Whether you believe him or you don't, that's up to you. I know Nick. I believe when he's out here, he's not doing it for clicks and likes. He's doing it because he actually got some information that he thought was relevant enough to talk about it during the Xbox Era podcast. So let me just read directly from the posted article. And it says, Sony Interactive Entertainment is in preliminary talks to bring Arrowhead Game Studios' cooperative third-person shooter Helldivers 2 to Xbox Series X and S based on the latest rumor. Speaking during the latest episode of the Xbox Era podcast, co-host Special Nick mentioned that there are some very early discussions ongoing regarding the possibility of Helldivers 2 being released on Xbox Series X and S. He believes that the current PlayStation boss is a little more open to certain things, hinting at the idea of experimenting with multi-platform console releases beyond just MLB The Show titles and Bungie's future releases. Now, Fuzzy, look, I think it's safe to say that Sony is not broke. I think there are a lot of trolls out there that like to throw this, unethical, disingenuous take. They're not broke. They are a billion-dollar company. Does Sony make as much as they used to? Are they trailing behind in electronics and in film? Is PlayStation their breadwinner? 1,000%. The truth of the matter is, though, they had a dozen games as a service in active development. They have canceled six of those. And some of those were freaking huge. The Last of Us, Twisted Metal. There were a few other ones. They, you know, the military shooter, which I 1,000% believe that that was a SOCOM. That is gone. They don't have a lot going for them. And listen, folks, this isn't console war trolling. Let's have an honest conversation. In your opinion, has Sony had a good 2024? Because I don't think that they'd have. I think the one highlight that jumps off the page, at least financially for them, is Helldivers 2. Because, yes, is it being supported on PC more than their PlayStation 5? Yes. How much more? I think it's like a 60-40 kind of a thing. But people are still playing the game on PlayStation. And what's interesting is most of those players, and I just look at who's tweeting about it, are Xbox dudes because they enjoy multiplayer games. Now, I bought it. I spent a significant amount of time into it. Got a bunch of trophies. Played with a bunch of randos. Had a freaking blast. And will absolutely double dip to play this on Xbox. It's not console begging. You know, you saw like over the weekend, you guys are just poor begging. I mean, really? If I already bought the game, I'm not begging for anything. I could play the game, but I'd rather play it on Xbox. Yeah. Do you honestly believe Hiroki Totoki is a guy that is not in the position to console war? He doesn't give a shit about who's winning the war, whose box is better. He wants to make money. This is a third-party title. They don't own the developer. They have published the game. Great. But this makes a lot of sense. What are your thoughts on Nick's, rumor mill, if you will?
Well, I've always teased Nick as far as like he's a much better PlayStation insider than Xbox insider, and it's not that his track record is you know flawed or anything like that. It just seems like I would say almost 100% of the stuff he mentions with PlayStation usually comes to be. Whether it's like when they have a showcase or a particular game, you know, either being canceled or what have you, he's been pretty much like 100% spot on. Some of the stuff with Xbox, possibly stuff changes behind the scenes. So he's more like, you know, 70 or 80% on a lot of the stuff that at least that I follow. But when it comes to this information on Helldivers 2, like, with Hiroki Totoki taking the reins as far as for PlayStation, he's more about that money. He's more about, you know, having revenue come in as opposed to it just leaving money on the table. Now, does that mean that it comes to Xbox? Not necessarily, but I would say since it's not a first party studio, it shouldn't hurt the brand and probably the vocal minority that would complain on the interwebs about it, either one having already purchased Helldivers 2 or they've already purchased it and it's not like they're going to magically sell it because I'm pretty sure you had to buy that game digitally. I don't think they sold it physically. Could be wrong. But
no, I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think there was a physical copy of that.
So it's not like they're going to be able to, you know, get rid of it. I mean, sure, they can uninstall it and, you know, in protest, but that would just be silly or throwing money in the toilet kind of thing. But I don't see how it would harm anything. And if anything, if you have more players that hop into that, you know, into the servers and things like that, as long as they have the server capacity, because that was a problem in the beginning. They weren't anticipating as many people to, you know, hop into this game. But if they do expand it over to Xbox and they have that server support as far as being able to accommodate more players playing, that's you can't help but wonder, why would you turn away the money? Why would you turn away, you know, the potential as far as microtransactions? Because their microtransactions are what I would consider within reason.
Yeah,
since the game sells for since the game sells below 40, let's say you spend 20 like I did on the coins or whatever. I had enough, I guess, points to get like, and I still have points left over, but I've bought, I would say at least six armors, six helmets, six capes, that are separate from like the season list and stuff like that. Yep. And I'm fine with it. Like, the game is fun. It's a little punishing when you play solo until you level up certain things, but it's still fun in the best sense, as far as, especially when you're with friends. It's hilarity, although it can be frustrating if somebody drops the bomb on your head, as opposed to one of the enemy or one of the robots or any of those things type of deal. But bringing it over to Xbox, I would say it's probably good for at least another million copies, maybe two, pretty easily. I mean, a good bit of Xbox guys that have access to PC have probably already purchased it, but a lot of those same individuals, myself included, are the type that would also probably want to put it on Xbox if it was made available, just for the fact that, you know, maybe for to guarantee as far as for crossplay, you know, purposes and things like that. But it's a PvE game. It's not PvP, but it would bring the community together. And if you can bring the community together and bring in more money at the same time, I don't see what the problem would be. So, I mean, I know a lot of people were like, oh, well, why doesn't Xbox put more games? They've already put a handful of games over there, and it looks like it's been well received as far as for Sea of Thieves. So who's to say Helldivers 2 wouldn't get the same treatment over here? So I would say I hope it happens.
I hope it happens as well. I mean, look, Gansley, if we're being fair, right? Mm-hmm. Sony PlayStation has not had a very profitable 2024, right? We've seen many of their console exclusives through marketed deals not do very well. But again, just name the list. Rise of the Ronin didn't sell mm-hmm. well at all, right? I keep calling it Stellar Yams.
Stellar Yams.
Stellar Blade,
God damn it,
is potentially gonna sell well. It's an action game. It's mm-hmm. being compared to like Devil May Cry, so it looks
very Japanese.
And that's fine. I love those types of games. So whether it sells well or it doesn't, I'm not exactly sure. But we know that Foam Stars came and went, didn't do anything. Final Fantasy Rebirth, we know how that's struggling. That's been confirmed as to have sold maybe like 2.3 million copies across all the the one platform that it's on, but of all the different regions, that's not very good. But there is something that jumps off the page for Sony that did not expect to hit big, and it did, and that is, of course, Helldivers 2. It mm-hmm. was very well done. It is a lot of fun to play. I think, like Fuzzy was saying, playing solo is punishing. But if you jump into it, I've gone many missions solo, and it is nerve-wracking, because unless you have like that you can drop turrets, or you can drop, you know, you have a drone that's following over you to take care of some of the stuff, you're going to get wrecked. But it's fun. And especially when you play with randos, mm-hmm. people were just having fun. I didn't come across any trolls that would, you know, let me die. Every time I got in trouble, someone came running over to help, and vice versa. It was a lot of fun. And right now, it's seeing significant success for a multiplayer game on PlayStation 5 as well as on PC. But with this rumor, now I do want to continue reading what he had to say, because I do have it in front of me. Nick did clarify that that this information does not guarantee that Helldivers 2 will arrive on Xbox Series X and S. All he has heard at this point is that they are, in fact, in preliminary discussions going on in regards to Sony Interactive Entertainment. Now, he goes on to say that the talks could end up failing or falling to piece together, and it may not come to an actual agreement, but it does make a lot of dollars and cents for Sony. Now, again, if you look at some of the deals that they've made to keep games away from Xbox and other platforms to sell PS5s, this is a game that is available on PC. It is available on PS5. It is not a first-party studio as of today's conversation. Mm-hmm. It is a third-party studio that is being published by PlayStation. I think that there is definitely something here. And when you look at Hiroki Totoki trying to obviously get income to help them, you know, be a company, this is a great way to do it. Now, I don't think it happens this year. I really don't think that it was even in the cards. And I don't want to see this game rushed just the same way you don't want to see Fallout 5 rushed. But what are your thoughts on what Nick had to say?
I'm okay. So it fits their MO, first off. I mean, they're really smart at picking, you know, what goes where. They're really smart at picking their narratives. This fits their narrative. Like you said, Arrowhead is a second party. It's a second party studio, right? They don't own them, like you said. So seeing this, it's also a multiplayer game that, you know, Sony doesn't really associate, you know, themselves with often. Their identity is more like this big budget action adventure kind of thing, right? Cinematic experience, all that stuff, premium feel, whatever. This is not that. This is a very different game than Sony gets, like, makes themselves. So I wouldn't be surprised. These games thrive on, you know, more fan bases the better. And it's easy money for them. I think it would do well here, just like Sea of Thieves did well over there, like Fuzzy said. It's a shoe-in. Like, why not? I'm not even a huge fan of this game, but I could see why it's so big and why it's so popular. And yeah, do whatever you can. If you're Xbox, you're going to Arrowhead. I would think you go to Arrowhead and sweet talk them a little bit. And I'm pretty sure Arrowhead likes where they are right now, and, you know, maybe they could play their hand with Sony a little bit and be like, yeah, like, we want our game here. So why not? Why not? I mean, I'm excited. Let's get more people playing Helldivers.
Now, have you had an opportunity to play it or not?
Of course. Of course. I played with my brother pretty heavily, because my brother and I, we play a lot of multiplayer games together. We've been doing that since the very beginning. I mean, that's our bond. That's our time off. We play together as much as we can. And he's the one that really pushed this game. And when I saw the glowing reviews and stuff like that and the community push, I jumped in because FOMO got me. Damn it. FOMO got me. And then it was just after every work shift, it was, hey, Anthony, let's get on Helldivers, to the point where I actually started to hate it a little bit. But that was just because I'm that type of gamer. If there's not really a point to go past a certain point, if the point is, you know, just for difficulty's sake and or, you know, high score stuff, I don't do that. There has to be a PvP element or a loot element or story element to it. And this is not that. So it's not my type of full throttle game. It's not my food game, basically. No, I'd rather jump into a PvP experience in a competitive type of way. But anyways, not the point. Great game. And I can't wait for more people to play it.
Yeah, so Coral Guy in the chat is asking if this would be considered a second party. That is correct, Coral Guy. Yes, it would be considered a second party because they don't own the studio, but they did publish the game. I don't know if they made any investments into Arrowhead for the game. I don't know.
They just have a very good partnership with
them. Yes, they have a good partnership. So it would be considered second party, but that doesn't mean that because it's second party, it can't find its way onto another platform like an Xbox. And I think that we are starting to see that, well, the world is really changing. And, you know, anything you want to add, Gamsley, on to the conversation regarding what Coral Guy is asking?
Well, like I said before, if anything, it helps them kind of avoid the backlash of first party stuff going to other consoles. They could kind of just slip in the fact that, oh my god, look, this is not a PlayStation studio type thing. Like I said in the beginning, it's like they could lead into the narrative of like, yeah, this is, you know, this is not us, you know, this is Arrowhead, and, you know, whatever. They could lead with that and not get the backlash like first party Xbox games did.
I still think there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of purists that are going to be like, no, you can't put your peanut butter in my chocolate. I don't like it.
Maybe. It's possible. I hope they get a little bit of that since, you know, everybody does the the same thing to the opposition. So, yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. While I bring Game Pass Dad in, let me set the stage here. And I say stage because obviously he does stand-up comedy. So that's why I use the whole stage thing. we talked on Friday that right now PlayStation Network or PSN has more Xbox games or more Microsoft games in their top 25 than Sony does. Sony doesn't have any single-player games there outside of MLB The Show, and that, of course, is multi-plat. They have Destiny 2 that's in there. That's also multi-plat, but they don't have any console single-player exclusive games there. And I'm wondering, Game Pass Dad, if Hiroki Totoki, who has he's been given the task of writing the ship for PlayStation specifically. He's wearing two hats. He is the money person for Sony Interactive Entertainment, and he has now taken on the leadership role at PlayStation after the removal or retirement, however you want to say it, of Jim Ryan. And I'm sure that he looks over and he says, well, our PlayStation Network, our online, the top out of the top 25 games, there are 7 Microsoft games that are making bank. Now, Sony is making money as well because each one of those games, they're getting a 30% kickback. They're getting kickback for 30% on everything that's there. Minecraft, Call of Duty, you know, Sea of Thieves, Grounded, any of the stuff that's selling, they're getting a nice chunk of money. I think there's something to be said about him looking over there and saying, and this is me saying this. I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Xbox gamers love multiplayer games. Helldivers 2 is a freaking phenomenal co-op game, multiplayer game, and it's even more tense when you jump in with randos or you just jump in on a planet by yourself. It is freaking phenomenal. I'm telling you right now, I think that this game, if it was released on Xbox, would be easily in Microsoft's top 10. Maybe their top 15. I don't doubt it because, again, Xbox players like multiplayer games. It is a multiplayer box. It has been for years. What are your thoughts on this, Game Pass Dad?
Well, I've been spreading lots of democracy myself on PC. Hence why I've been sneakily triggering my little Helldivers meme. But I mean, Helldivers 2, like, you can't really deny the fact that it's been like an absolute sensation. Like it's proven for itself by the fact that it completely outperformed like what they had expected in and of themselves with like the amount of servers that they had prepared. Which I mean, there's probably not a rush to necessarily bring it to more platforms because of the fact that like the servers were clogged up for so long. Like Once it started hitting on PC, it blew up in a way that they definitely couldn't have ever imagined. And that just combined with the fact that like I really have been paying a lot of attention to like these games that are hitting at like a $30 to $40 price point that are more of like a single or double A game that have quite a bit to offer, but like aren't quite as hyped as like their triple A brethren that like, but in this case, like Helldivers is easily outperformed Rebirth and like others that kind of fell short of their targets.
Don't say that, damn it. How dare you take
it. But when it comes to me, it's like, I feel like that's an important shift in gaming because a lot of these companies are starting to realize that, yeah, they can throw hundreds of millions of dollars at a game. It doesn't mean that you're going to have the same return on it that you would expect because gamers are starting to be a little like, I mean, it's just the nature of the world we live in today. Like people really have to make choices with the money they spend on their media and their entertainment. And there's starting to be some pushback to that $70 price point and the microtransactions and the strategy that you have as a business. And to me, it's a lot easier to swallow like a one-time $40 purchase. And as Fuzzy had pointed to, some very reasonable microtransactions. Like, honestly, I wish Halo would pay attention to what Helldivers is doing with microtransactions, because I would buy everything if it was only like $2 to $5 for each piece of armor. I'd be buying up a storm. Like, and I do feel like yes, there is something to be understood that there are whales who will buy everything still, no matter what price there is. But ethically, like, does it make sense to release $200 worth of armor in Halo every single month? Like, that's something that irks me, and I won't stop like pointing out to 343 in Halo anytime I get a chance to be on the mic. But essentially, I do feel like there is a much more profitable strategy for the long term of being respectful of your customers' wallets and providing them that value over that short-term gain. And Helldivers is knocking it out of the park as of right now. And kind of to what you're saying, though, as well, with like Sony's getting a lot of money off these Xbox games, like they're collecting 30% off the games in their ecosystem. I don't know if it's a purposeful part of the third-party strategy Microsoft has that might be a little bit sneaky, but if you start showing Sony how much money there is to bring these games to a secondary platform, and they're seeing this new revenue stream that they have off these Xbox games that they've never had before, they know that there's at least 35 million people in Microsoft's ecosystem. And I mean, at that point, if they feel there's a market there, they might be more than willing to start opening up those new revenue channels, especially for these games that aren't as core to like Sony's strategy. And I feel like as time goes on, it's making more and more sense, like especially with like just the way games are developed and delivered. There's less like, especially if you're doing digital releases, there's just less obstacles to overcome in order to bring these games to different platforms. Like, I mean, it's technological. You can't run games on a Nintendo Switch that you can run on like a Series X or a PlayStation 5. But the jump between Sony and PlayStation, or PlayStation Xbox, sorry, is not as large as it used to be back in the day. And certainly as budgets are getting tighter and gaming companies are trying to find ways to make more money, I do feel like there's more and more talks and the relationships are becoming closer, because each one has its own strategy. But at the same time, like, I feel like Jim Ryan was there to maximize those profits at all costs, and with the traditional model to try and push off this move towards the future for as long as possible. But now that there's been this shift, I feel like the third party publishing is much more in conversation, and even paying attention to the model of Game Pass. Like, you can't really ignore that Microsoft has like locked in $4 billion of revenue every single year. With, if you crunch the numbers, it's like a little bit more precise than that, but even at $10 per subscription, it's like somewhere around $4 billion every single year that they have revenue coming in, 4.2, just based off of like the 35 million numbers. So I feel like as a games as a service, as a game that is like an IP owned and published by Sony, but more of considered a secondary title, and like the fact that it is like a multiplayer games as a service game, it's not as detrimental to their brand to bring it to Xbox. But anyone, and like, because to the everyday consumer, like, they're just asking, well, why can't I play this game over here? Because most people are going to make their choices as to what console they're going to play on. Would it be great if Microsoft sold 100 million units? Yeah, it'd be great. Like, if we could ride the momentum from the old days, but it's never going to be in the same place, and that's why it's opening up. But Sony knows where they're at. They know that they have a strong presence in the console space, and that this isn't really going to deteriorate that much. Like, only the most hardcore fans are really going to be upset about this at the end of the day. And these companies don't make these choices based on necessarily just what their hardcore fans think. Like, they're making their choices based on what's healthy for their business overall, which part of that is making sure that they're respective of their fans. And the other part is about making money so they can continue delivering an experience to their fans. So maybe 6 months, a year after release, I could see this being a third party game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, how long will it take for a port? Was this something that was planned all along? I don't think it was. Personally, I think that what you saw is what you got. I think it was right. Made for PC and PlayStation 5, and it surprised, I think, everyone. I think it surprised Sony fans. I think it surprised the gaming market. I think that when you look at some of the reviews that came for it, the game is not perfect, but it is so much fun, and it is chaotic, and it is just a blast. Whether, like I said, whether you're playing with randos or you actually are like Gamzee, he just gets together with his brother and potentially some friends, and they go out and they have a great old time, and they're saving the universe one bug squash at a time. It's phenomenal. But gentlemen, I kind of want to just focus on something that Phil Spencer said regarding this game. And I just want to see if it's me picking up something or it's me just looking too far into it. So in an interview, gentlemen, with Gamefile, Phil Spencer says this: "I will say, when I look at a game like Helldivers, and it's a great game, kudos to the team shipping it on PC and PlayStation. I'm not exactly sure who it helps in the industry by not bringing it to Xbox." Now, he said this on February 16th, 2024. Okay, so here's my thought and my theory, Fuzzy Belvedere. Phil Spencer is in a position that when he has an interview, something that he says can move stock numbers, right? He has that kind of power. He doesn't specifically go out of his way to do it, but he usually doesn't talk about things that may or may not be relevant to an Xbox platform decision. He says this: "I'm not exactly sure who it helps in the industry by not being on Xbox." Now, a lot of people said he was being, I saw some people write up, he was being spiteful when he said that. I don't think so at all. I think that he's trying to get a game that he knows that his fan base will enjoy. Now, obviously, this was money-hatted by Sony, and it's something that they did to great success with this game. Not everything that they did in 2024 panned out as well as this, and this continues to be a conversation. It continues to make money for Sony. I think it would make more money if it was on Xbox. Again, I would gladly double dip. It's not a problem. I'm not even looking for a Game Pass deal. I saw that conversation over the weekend. Oh, you Xbox just wanted in Game Pass. No, it's okay. I'll buy the deluxe edition all over again. It's not a problem. You can have my 40. I think it was $60. I think it was four. It was, the standard was 40. I think there was a $60 version. I bought the $60 version. I don't care. I like deluxe editions. Is there something here, Fuzzy Belvedere, on what he had to say that there might be more than preliminary? Maybe they're working stuff out in a contract. Oh, Fuzzy, I can't hear you.
Sorry about that. No, it's quite possible, because he said before, whenever he says something, there's something there. There's always something there in what he says, or on that shelf behind him, kind of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is something being discussed behind the scenes back then, just to kind of give people a heads up and then see how, the gaming community responds. Sure, you're going to have your naysayers or those that are like, oh, he's just being salty or whatever. Okay, well, we know that it wasn't like an overnight thing for Hi-Fi Rush. We know it wasn't an overnight thing for Sea of Thieves or any of the other games that they've put over there. So it's quite possible that there could have been something in the works behind the scenes. I mean, we're finally getting Kena, Bridge of Spirits over here.
Yes.
I know originally people thought it was a 1 year deal, and then it was rumored to be a 2 year deal. 3 years later, we're getting the game, and it's an awesome game.
And I will buy it again. I bought it on PlayStation and I will rebuy it. That game was gorgeous.
Yeah. And like with these non first party games, like when it's another studio, even though, Sony is contributing or funding that game or that creation to some extent, they still can benefit from it. Like, whatever the revenue split is, it may depend, but I would have to assume if Sony funded that project fully, they're probably like 60-40 or something like that. Take the overall 30% off the top for Microsoft. I'm pretty sure they would rather take that than zero if it winds up being that they sell another million copies or so. So it all depends. I would not be surprised. I mean, we all see how we got MLB The Show into Game Pass. Yes, I know that was the MLB licensing and stuff that publishes that and whatnot, but you have to admit that's kind of like the I guess you could say the sharp business sense that he has that people don't necessarily give him credit for at times. Same deal with getting Death Stranding in Microsoft's Xbox PC store not too long ago. So Forspoken was on Xbox's PC store. So
yep.
I can see it being something that he's probably in works with, and that, you know, worst case scenario, maybe it only comes to the Xbox PC store. I still think that's a win as far as getting more players, even though that store is maybe not the preferred place for PC players in general. Steam is still the head and shoulders above all the others, but it's still an option to give more people access to a game that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have bought any other time, and having access to it adds to that community. And then maybe when there's a Helldivers 3, they all realize it's better just to put it everywhere and collect all the money from everybody, as opposed to, you know, fracturing things and stuff, especially considering now that this whole $70 game standard, and I know a lot of people, it's like a sore spot. Oh, they're talking about $70 games again, but it's like games haven't sold quite as well since they've had that price increase.
It's a fact, brother. It's a fact. Yes. Yeah.
And it's something that, is $70 going to go away? No. I mean, it's a lot of these smaller devs, or even some of the games that the devs know are smaller experiences. I mean, even like with Hellblade 2, it's not going to be a $70 game. That should help it sell better. That should also help when it comes to the fact that it's digital only. And I know there are some that want the physical version of it. I hate to tell you, physical versions are going to probably go the way of limited run only kind of thing in the next couple of years. But outside of that, having a game that once you start spending all this money producing these games and then you put that $70 price tag, unless you're a Call of Duty or a Madden or a 2K, your best hope is maybe reach somewhere between 10 million or so copies. We don't see the, you know, games reaching the 20 million copies quite like they used to, except for, you know, those 2Ks or Call of Duties and things like that. The exception would be those that still have the cross-gen that is still 60, but those are becoming fewer and far between now. But I think he's working on something or hinting to something that, you know, was either in the works or whatnot. And I know people would be like, oh, he lied about VR. No, he actually didn't lie about VR.
Yeah.
He was working something with Meta or Facebook at the time. And we see what that panned out. Now, it's not quite what he may have hoped or what all of us may have hoped as far as that was concerned. But Xbox is on Meta. And that was part of what he may have talked about too soon type of thing. So he's getting better at not talking about things as early. But every time he says something, there's either something in the works or it's a plan that's, you know, almost in effect at this point in time. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get an announcement within a year's time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Again, I really we don't know for sure, but I don't think that this game was planned for Xbox. I think the success of this game has clearly shown Sony that there is a revenue pool that they could definitely tap into. And Xbox would be a good place because it is a multiplayer console. Gams, what are your thoughts on Phil Spencer's statement during this interview? Because again, he specifically goes on to mention Helldivers 2. You know, obviously he gives the team a lot of credit for releasing it on Xbox. I mean, on PlayStation and of course on PC. Mm-hmm. But as you know, obviously throwing that little dig in there that it doesn't really do the industry any good where it's not on Xbox. I mean, listen, we know. what Sony has done is what they've done for years. Console exclusives make people buy PlayStations. That's a fact. But this is a much different generation, and these corporations want to make money. Hiroki Totoki, who is the interim head dude over at PlayStation right now until they find a permanent replacement, wants to course correct some of the stuff that Jim Ryan got wrong. I think releasing those on Xbox makes sense.
Yeah, so these types of games, just like Final Fantasies, like, okay, we can't really compare, look, publishing, you know, publishing exclusives for your platform is always going to have a space, right? It's always going to be a thing. Apple has their exclusive apps and all that stuff. It's just the way it's going to be. In this specific case, and I'm going to bring up Final Fantasy, you know, for people like, for third-party studio deals and all that stuff, it's a different story, okay? In the terms of Final Fantasy, I could say it doesn't do anything for Square. It does something for PlayStation, but Square not growing and being healthy and having visibility everywhere actually stunts the industry entirely. Like, if more publishers go, let's say Capcom and Sega did the same thing, right? It wouldn't grow the industry as a whole. But see what's happening now, where Capcom and all these other big companies are starting to put their big guns everywhere. It's starting to get more visibility from everyone that might be turned off from buying a whole freaking system, especially if they're not in that ecosystem. So you lose a player, right? You don't gain a player. Big games like this matter going everywhere because it gets more gamers with different tastes into games everywhere. And that grows the entire industry as a whole. I think that's what he's pointing at. Like, if Helldivers is such a big thing and people are like, oh my God, yo, Billy, get this game. And he's like, well, I'm a phone gamer or a Xbox gamer. Is it on my store? And they're like, no. It's like, okay, well, you lose a player, right? You lose a gamer. You lose growth there. So, it's just, you know, put these big games everywhere for more eyes and more opportunity to grow and keep money flow in the gaming business as a whole, as an entirety, and keep, you know, certain things exclusive that come from your space that you think won't be that you think will grow your console. That's fine, but as a whole, we should probably, for games like Helldivers and for second party studios and all that, third party studios, put your games everywhere so everybody gets to play them and money flows into the industry. If that makes sense, or I'm just blabbing around in the
circle.
I think
it makes perfect sense, and I think that's where the industry is going. Again, I still think, and I'm going to die in this hill, folks, because I'm an old dog. There are certain exclusives that need to remain on its own platform. God of War, Horizon, Uncharted. Those games are Sony PlayStation first party games.
Yeah, to that.
Why those games? Those consoles for those games.
To that point, right? A staggered release makes a lot of sense, and they're going to PC and all sorts of things. But that's the point, is that they're going to go to PC and grow the market there and grow the players there. And that's right. That's the whole entire point of this. Like, it doesn't matter where we start. Like, if it just matters that more people get to play the thing when the thing comes out. And that's what I'm saying. And that's where everybody's going, including Square and Capcom and Xbox and even PlayStation right now at this very moment are doing the exact same thing. So, good for us. I mean, good for gaming, good for visibility of everything. So, yeah.
No, I mean, look, a gamer like me has everything. If I had a choice of the three platforms, I'd buy it for Xbox, but if it's not available on Xbox, I buy it on PlayStation because, well, I have a PlayStation 5 and I'm proud to support it. Same thing with Switch. K.O. Walker, he actually said this in the chat, Xbox VR headset news in the last 20 minutes. I did not see that because obviously I'm going, thank you so much. I'm going to definitely check that out. If there is some VR talk for Xbox, we will definitely be covering it tomorrow on the Xbox Factor podcast at noon. But before we get everyone out of here, and of course, to catch up on the last super chat that popped in here, I want to welcome in nearly 900 live viewers. Now, of course, that is the number of breakdown is, wow, 342 people watching on X, on Twitter. That's crazy. And almost 526 people watching on YouTube. Of course, if you are watching and enjoying the conversation, please consider subscribing to the channel. It's one click. And if you're feeling super generous, you can click again for the bell icon to find out when I go live. And I do this Monday through Friday, five different panels, five different shows, all great content. Now, Game Pass Dad, let's get you in here for your final thoughts. Phil Spencer had something very pointed to say. I appreciate what he said, how he said it. A lot of people didn't. They thought it was like he was taking a dig at Sony for making this as, you know, an exclusive to their platform as well as on PC. I just think that he's making a lot of sense. I think that it does correlate with what Nick had to say. And I don't think Phil Spencer says things if there isn't some substance to it. Because like I said in the opening, his opinion does move stock numbers. I don't think he mentions Helldivers 2 if there wasn't a chance for that they could work out a deal with Sony Interactive Entertainment to put this on Xbox. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it definitely, like, I do feel like he's very vocal when he thinks about bringing games to gamers, and he's been a leader with like making sure things like crossplay happen back in like the early Fortnite days, because PlayStation was famously like the last holdout on crossplay back in the day. And like now when we're talking about games that are perfect for a third party audience, like I think he kind of realizes that this is a game that pays homage to games that Xbox players love, and he sees Xbox as a perfect market for it, and that it's a title that if he was in charge, that would certainly be a game that they would be considering putting on other platforms eventually as well. I don't know if it necessarily speaks directly to any sort of backroom conversations. Like it's very possible that it was in talks. But I mean, at the very least, I think it does speak to the fact that he would like to see it on Xbox, and that he might not see who it would help to keep it off there permanently, or that he has an idea that like eventually they will want to bring it to more platforms. So it could be a number of things there. But speaking to that also, I do feel like in a way with off the back of the success of like launching simultaneously on PlayStation and PC, like Microsoft's strategy moving forward to where they're making the Xbox less of just a console and more of a version of PC. Like, I mean, that could be a reason why they're doing it, is an eventual workaround to like bring as many chances for Xbox gamers to enjoy games that might not necessarily make it directly to console this day and age. Like it would be out of the question in the future if an Xbox is a PC and vice versa. But I think it's more speaking to the fact that he would hope that they can work something out. And I don't doubt that there couldn't have been any conversations about it, but it definitely would seem that obviously we didn't get a simultaneous release on Xbox, and I wouldn't necessarily expect one just for the way that exclusives work this day and age. Like it seems like the real exclusive is just more or less a timed exclusive in a lot of cases. So I feel it's more like being passionate about it and trying to make an argument that, yes, this is a game that would do great on Xbox, and that he would hope that Sony does follow suit and start bringing more games like that to more gamers. And just that it is a possibility, because we all know that it's been done before, and I wouldn't doubt that we'd possibly see it on Xbox one day, but I've also been enjoying it quite a lot on PC. So I just hope, honestly, as many people get a chance to play it, because it's been a great example of what can be possible at that price point. And just in gaming is in general, it's like one of the greatest like co-op shooter options that you have right now. And yeah. Like definitely it is the bright spot that of like Sony's lineup this year, like we were talking to earlier, like They definitely have had a pretty difficult first party year, but Helldivers has probably bought them some time with a lot of goodwill. And I do feel like it's a game that if they are starting to consider bringing games to more platforms, that this is definitely one that they should really consider, because I feel like it's going to sell great on whatever platform it's on. Because I don't know if I would necessarily personally buy it again, because I primarily game on my PC, but there are situations that down the line, if I ever just for whatever reason, like only have my Xbox or want to sit on the couch and play it, like I could see myself buying it again for whatever price point it is if I ever had to, because it's also a game that I play on controller. I don't play it mouse and keyboard. So
yeah.
It's very versatile, and it's at a point where it doesn't break the bank, where even as someone who doesn't plan on buying it a second time, I would certainly consider it. So at the very least, I think Phil's trying to open up the conversation to like point it in the right direction to potentially come to Xbox, because it's definitely a game that Xbox gamers would enjoy.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Real quick, One Punch Jedi drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, boom, what if it's announced at the Xbox showcase? That would actually be super cool. I think that the Xbox showcase in June is going to be massive. I'm going to be there, boots on the grounds. Hopefully I get into FanFest. I'm actually looking forward to meeting everyone in person. Like, I'm going to get a chance to hang out with Hargeet Chani and a few other. I'm trying to get a list of who's going. DM me. Let me know if you're going to be in LA between the 6th and the 10th of June. I will be there. Looking forward to it as well. That's going to be great. I have not been back to LA since E3 of 2019. So it's time to kind of start rubbing elbows once again. And now I'm looking forward to it. Even though it's not going to be called E3, it's going to be called something or other. Summer Games Fest is definitely the running title for Jeff Keighley's show. But I don't know if that's what everything is going to be called. But look, this has been a fantastic show. 90 minutes of big opinions. We had almost 900 live viewers, which is absolutely amazing. Let's get to the outros and get everyone out of here so you can go continue on with your Monday. Real quick, Nerds and Other Legends clarifies what the headset is. Responding to K.O. Walker, he says it's not an Xbox headset as much as it's Xbox-themed meta headset. Now, I think why they did that is because you can play Xbox Game Pass on this ginormous screen using your Meta Quest 3. I have not done it as of yet. I still think it's in beta. I don't think it's officially launched, but that's pretty cool. And I'm gonna be honest with you, they might get me. God damn it! If it's an Xbox and it looks cool. If it's just white with an Xbox logo, I could do that myself. But if it's actual like decked out and like Xbox, I may have to be a nerd and get it. I don't know. We'll see. But again, thank you so much for checking out the show. Let's get to the outros. Gamsley, let's start first with you, brother. You not only have your own amazing YouTube channel, which of course we're trying to get subscribers to, but you work with Deadly Headley and Asa from Game On Daily on an amazing show. I want you to sell that show. Let everyone know where they can check that out when you guys go live. And what's the show about, man? How you doing?
All right, so you can find me on Gaming Arcadia YouTube channel for the Xbox Series podcast, which I am co-host of with Game On Asa and Deadly Headley, as you pointed out. We just talk about games, man. We talk about what we've been playing. We talk about the Xbox news. I slander a bunch of stuff sometimes, mostly my co-host. So if you like that banter, then that's the place for you. I'm probably not selling this podcast very well, but you know, we're just having fun there. So go check that out every Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then you can find me here every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. On X at Gamsley TKD. We just have a lot of fun. The Discord channel is a bunch of fun. On X, if you see my tweets and everything, we just have fun there. We're annoying to each other. We banter a lot. We play games with each other a lot. We're becoming quick friends there. Everyone on that Discord channel is amazing. So subscribe there and enter free. I think there's a free. Oh my god, I don't want to speak on that, but just follow and subscribe to Gaming Arcadia and join our Discord. It's a good time there.
Did you say having fun? Oh my God. What a
theory.
What a thought, ladies and gentlemen. Having fun playing games and talking to the community. This is what it's all about, supposedly. And again, I hope the community as a whole does get back to that. I just hate the way the community has gotten over the last couple of months. It's just been real ugly. And if you notice, I have not been tweeting as much. I tweet, you know, I talk about games I'm playing. I support everyone else and, you know, let you know what they're doing with their podcast. But I haven't been conversating because there's so much ugliness and I don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm a nerd and I know I have this ideology of, you know, let's all hold hands and be friends. But it's just been real ugly. So I hope that we can get back to that.
Because I can't even hold hands. I could hold feet. I mean,
some people are into feet, brother.
If you know, you know.
Yes. Yeah, if you know. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Gamsley, we love you, brother. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. As always, you are definitely a hoot, as the old man says. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's sell your brand, brother. Talk about the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre. What you got going on personally with your YouTube channel? Where can people find you in other shows? And more importantly, find you on social media.
Oh, as always, thank you so much for having me on. Always a pleasure being on here with you, Boom, as well as Gamsley and Game Pass Dad. Love your guys' thoughts on things. Love interacting with the chat. Thank you guys for checking us out. Don't forget to hit the like button if you haven't already. Subscribe if you haven't already as well. We greatly appreciate it. For those who want to hear my rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app, formerly known as Twitter, at Fuzzy_Belvedere. Now, there won't be an FSP later on tonight, but I will be on C-Money and Doodles show on Wednesday of this week, I believe at 4 p.m. for like their end of the month podcast. And then
the
also
party, on, I think it is.
Yeah. And then Friday morning, hope to see everybody right back here for Breakfast with Boom at 10 a.m. right here on this channel. Same time, well, same place, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you guys then. Thanks again.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Real quick, Carmine in the chat drops a very generous $2 super chat. So Carmine, thank you so much for the generosity. He goes on to say Sony owns the IP, so it's not money had. That is correct. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, they actually do own the IP, because if you remember, Helldivers 1 was isometric and also hard as hell. And they do actually own the IP. They did get Arrowhead to make it. But again, it's still one of those things that I still see a need for it. To continue growth on other platforms. That other platform is Xbox. I think Sony's going to see the same thing, because they're just looking, all they have to do is look at what's happening with PSN right now. There are more Microsoft-owned games in the top 25 than they are their own games. So it's something to be said about bringing that over, but we'll see. Game Pass Dad, let's sell your brand, brother. Not only are you a stand-up comic, and obviously you find your way over to work with Mav on a regular basis, but you have your own YouTube channel. And we also like to know where people could check you out on social media if they want to strike up a conversation.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you again for having me. Always good conversations here with you, Mr. Boomstick and all the family here at Double Barrel Gaming. You can always find me, Game Pass Dad, on YouTube. I make a lot of shorts content. A lot of sketches and stream content for my stream on Twitch. But I've been trying to make more gaming commentary videos similar to the conversations where we have here, where I try and combine humor and a little bit of pragmatism, a little bit of realistic look at what's actually happening in the gaming universe. And I'm not going to ever tell you that the sky is falling or that I'm sad that I'm not best friends with the Xbox developers anymore, but we won't go too far into that. But yeah, you guys, if you do enjoy my take on anything, feel free to follow me on YouTube. I'm trying to be more consistent with it, but as a dad and with stand-up coming back, it might not be all the time, but usually I'm pretty good for at least a couple of shorts every single week when I'm on my game. If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, that's another great place to keep up with the short form content. And I live stream on Twitch Wednesdays and weekends usually. If you want to come talk to me about it directly, or if you want to game with us, we do a lot of community games. I need to get my Halo game nights going again. I've been itching to play some more Halo lately. But we do a lot of community gaming at least a couple times a month as well. And in the meantime, if you also want to hear what's falling out of my head at any given time, whether it's tricking you into think I bought a Corvette or a little bit of light trolling and staying in the conversation and making some Xbox memes, Game Pass Dad on Twitter. So appreciate you guys. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you next time.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much for being a part of today's show. And actually, we like love having you here regularly. So whenever you got a free Monday and you want to join us, by all means, you have the key to the front door. So once again, thank you for being here, Game Pass Dad. And of course, a big thank you to everyone that continues to help the channel grow. We are on the hunt for 15K in 2024, and you can help us get there by, well, doing something super, super simple, and it's free. All you got to do is hit the subscribe button. And as you've seen me post on my YouTube channel, thanks to the incredible, ridiculous talent and generosity of Ben Kenobi, we are going to be giving away a lot of coins. We have the Fallout ones that were released. Those have been sent to me. When Hellblade 2 releases in May, we're going to be giving away 10 of those coins. And obviously, all you got to do to win one of those is be subscribed to the channel and be in the chat while we're doing the show live. Obviously, there are a ton of other coins. We have some of that are left over. We have the original Hold the Line. We have a bunch of Call of Duty. We have Diablo 4. We have a bunch of coins that we're going to continue to give away. We have a few fours. I think we have three or four of those left. And we're going to continue to give those away live on the air. Of course, we're going to do it through the picker that is provided to us by the software, of course, StreamYards. And like I said, all you got to do is be in the chat. You hit the hashtag that I'll give. And we're going to do a giveaway tomorrow. We're going to give away 5 coins tomorrow. Be in the chat, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you could win one of these very rare and limited Xbox coins. And of course, a big thank you to all of the super chats that continue to come in, as well as the support through channel membership. And you know, we're going to close the show how we always do. And something that my dad taught us, and I'd like to see more people kind of take on this ideology: treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son, I can guarantee you're gonna have an awesome day. So take care, everyone, and we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.